welcome to the Turing Distinguished Leader Series. Today, we are talking to Michael Immel, who is an engineering leader and has worked at well-known companies like Ratio, Recurly, Alteryx, et cetera. Michael, it's great to have you here and speaking to us. I have spoken to many people who find this series to be very, very valuable. And having an addition of somebody like you speaking to us is going to be incredibly useful for us and for a lot of people. So thank you again for making time. To get started with, would love to hear, tell us a little bit about your story in terms of how you have reached this point in your career where you are, and then what are you focusing on right now?
Great, and just want to say thank you for the opportunity as well. Really looking forward to the conversation today. So started in software back in really March of 99 is when I really got going. Worked for an API-based company that did geocoding. Started as a programming QA engineer and really fell in love with it. I thought I was going to use that as a stepping stone to get into peer development, but really used that to take that opportunity to the next level and did some really fun programming and really made the most of that opportunity and got out of it what I wanted. Did some professional services for a while, integrating our APIs with a lot of different companies. Did that for a while, went back into QA, and then moved into leadership. I guess it was probably around 2005, 2006, and, been doing software leadership since then, and it's been an incredible journey, and I'm really passionate about it. As far as what's next, I think at this point in my career, I really like where I'm at and the level that I'm at, and I think now it's about working to help build that next generation of leaders. Really passionate about the field that we're in, and it's been awfully good to me. And I just want to make sure help build that next generation of leaders in any way that I can.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you so much. How do you think about building a team as well as the next set of leaders, whether it's on premises where you are located, as well as remote? How do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a little bit challenging. I know, when I started, somebody really spent hours with me. They would spend an hour or two with me a day just talking through a particular problem that I was facing. And it was really strong hands-on mentorship. And, I think that's a little bit more challenging. But I think at the same time, with the advent of YouTube and so many other fantastic tools, now you can, kind of point people in that direction. They can consume it on their own time, and you can still get your message across in this, kind of evolving virtual world. And so, I think for me, the principles of good leadership are the same, no matter, if you're in person or remote. And it's just a matter of, I call it the concentric circles, is, starting with a small challenge, whether it's technical or a leadership challenge, and then, working through that, a strong feedback loop system, and then just ever expanding concentric circles of responsibility.
That sounds fantastic. I think that sounds like a great advice as well. But other than that, any other advice, top advice you would have for a leader who's about to manage a distributed team?
Yeah, I think it can be a little daunting. I think know that you're going to make mistakes. Go into it being humble and knowing that you're going to make mistakes. Know that it's not going to go perfectly. There's going to be days that are rough, and there's going to be days that, you maybe feel like quitting, or that you're a failure, that you're letting your team down, but to stick with it. I think, it's something that it's challenging in a different way than, pure technical problems. But then when you have your good days, I think it more than offsets that. And, find a mentor, find somebody that you believe is a good leader. I think there's a number of leaders I've worked and mentored with that I was very, direct with them and just said, hey, I really enjoy the way, you lead a team, or you lead an organization or a company. Could you spare some time to just work with me on some things that I want to get better at? And I think those are always good steps to go. And then at the end of the day, you just got to jump in and learn. I think learning through experience is the most valuable way to do it. But just finding a good mentor is the other good approach as well.
Excellent. Any pitfalls to be aware of, like anything that you feel like can go wrong, but any advice for people to keep in mind as they're building out, maybe perhaps the first time, a distributed team?
Yeah. Lean on your team. You know, I think just be honest and forthright with them as a new leader, and just be humble. You know that it's a big jump in mentality going from an individual contributor into a leadership role. You know, be humble, go to your team, you know, tell them that you're going to make some mistakes, but, you know, you're going to own those mistakes. You know, you're going to work with them and that you're going to need their help. And I found that, you know, that really ingratiates you with the team and gets them on your side and know that they're going to be there to support you and you're going to be there to support them, which is, I think, that kind of foundational layer every leader needs. So be humble, ask for help, and acknowledge that, you know, you're not going to get everything right. And the team, if you're working hard for them, the team knows it, and they'll help you out.
Sounds great. One of the interesting things that is happening with remote team, and actually tutoring is my first job that actually I onboarded remotely. Like before this, I was at Facebook, which I had joined pre-pandemic. So like we had like the whole, you know, you come in person to Menlo Park and all of that stuff. But there's a lot of learning during the onboarding as sort of people who are remote, and especially people who can be remote in maybe different geographies. Would love to hear a little bit more about your team, the distribution, and then how do you think about onboarding people in this remote distributed environment?
Yeah, so I'm currently with Ratio, and really enjoying that experience. They're pretty small. They're smaller than most of the companies that I've worked for. You know, but I think their mission really resonated with me, and I interviewed in person, I think March 9th of 2020, and was offered a job, and my start date was March 31st, 2020. So a lot changed in those 3 weeks, and, I've been remote the entire time. And, you know, I think it's challenging. I've been on premise, with everybody else, and then had distributed teams, most of them, you know, in other time zones, geographies, continents. And I think for me, you know, being remote, it's really important to be clear on what you're trying to do and be very purposeful, and really put yourself in the shoes of that person that's coming on board in this new remote world that a lot of us are in. And, you know, writing things down as much as possible, being, you know, very clear about building an onboarding strategy, involve your team. You know, I think so many things that used to happen organically, you know, you have to help facilitate now. And so I think write things down, you know, get an onboarding plan in place, make sure that onboarding plan includes, you know, kind of not necessarily purely business related, but just introductory type meetings with as many people, you know, that they're going to maybe be interacting with, so that those base relationships are there. You know, when that first time that person has to reach out on, you know, Slack or email or whatever, there's at least a face-to-face that's occurred, even if it's virtually. But just building your kind of organization, writing it down, and then, you know, iterating on it with each candidate. And I did a debrief with a lot of our new candidates, and there was always something there that we could improve on. So that's what's worked well for us at Ratio.
That sounds great. You know, once you onboard people and you have built the team, whether in your current experience or previous experiences, how do you build culture in a remote team? Right? Would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's often said that teams take on the personality of their leader. And so I feel a lot of responsibility to really be the role model for that culture. You know, that's obviously not enough just to do that. You know, I think being very purposeful with the kind of culture that you're trying to build, write it down, you know, make sure that's part of that onboarding process. And then, you know, to the point that, you know, you're not patronizing, but just be repetitive about what you're trying to do. And then really highlighting the kind of behavior. I'm really big on positive reinforcement. And so, you know, when somebody does something that you believe advances the culture, is in line with the culture you're trying to build, really take a moment and highlight that. You know, it's at Alteryx, I carried around these little plastic gold stars, and I would carry them in my pocket. And if I was in a meeting and somebody did something, I'd stop the meeting and hand out a gold star. And I think they cost like 50 cents, you know, but it, just that small little moment, it it really helped positively reinforce that culture. You know, at Rachio, I found these kind of cheap knockoff. They almost look like Oscars, but they're a little cheap plastic, and they're holding a gold star. And it's fun. You hand those out, and then all of a sudden they're showing up behind people in their, you know, in their video feed, that they care enough about it that it's had enough of an impact. And so, you know, seeing those show up, it just have a little fun with it. Be clear about what culture you're trying to build and positively reinforce it as much as you can. And at the end of the day, you've got to live that culture day in and day out.
Great. One of the things is that distributed teams offer opportunities and challenges. I think we spoke a little bit about different challenges. What are the opportunities that you have found with remote teams as you work through it through many years?
Yeah, I think with distributed teams, and I just want to make sure I'm on the same page. Distributed being, you know, a collection of people usually in the same office, but in different geographies. Is that what you're intending with distributed?
Yeah, distributed, like remote and perhaps in different geographies.
Yeah. So I think the biggest challenge is, you know, distributed in some ways can be really challenging with the, you know, the amount of context that everybody gets might be a little different, but I think the opportunities are there that, you know, for distributed, if you have people co-located in office, you can really kind of build specialties around that. A lot of times you can divvy up your work where, you know, a certain group, you know, knows a domain, and you really kind of build that up, and it doesn't require like really tight forced integration. You know, I think in the pure remote environment, you know, we did an employee survey on this, and I've never seen more clear results, at least on the engineering side, that our team really wants no part of going back to an office. You know, there's a few people that like have an office to go to 1 or 2 days a week, but you know, the reduced commute time, you know, impact on the environment, there's a lot of things that people feel like this new remote world that we're in and virtual world that we're in, you know, has a lot of positives. And so I think really embracing that and, you know, giving people their time back. I think that's the biggest opportunity, is where, you know, I've seen anecdotal data and some limited, you know, wider scale data that shows people have higher job satisfaction. They're putting in a little bit more time, you know, because they have that time, their office is set up at home, and they just feel better about their company and their job and what they're doing, and how easy it is for them to get their work done, and they feel supported, you know. So I think that's the greatest opportunity.
Great. One question I have is that as you progress in your career, was there any place you could lean in to learn about managing remote teams and distributed team? Or maybe another way to ask this, like, would you also have any advice for people who are like starting to manage new distributed teams or remote teams? Where can they learn more about it? And where did you learn more about it?
Yeah, so, you know, I was originally, when I was working in geocoding, we were acquired by Pitney Bowes, and, you know, global company, and they had a really good training course on managing remote teams. You know, and they basically talked about this kind of three-tiered system, and the purpose of this was saying that, hey, you know, that personal relationship is foundational, you know, and obviously in this, you know, virtual world we're in now, I don't know it's as easy to do that, but, you know, I think try and find courses out there, you know, talk to somebody that's done it. And, you know, I think there's some really good options out there, online on leadership training that I think are fantastic resources. I personally try and take a leadership course a year. Oftentimes the cost goes above and beyond what the company covers. But, you know, I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's something that I'm very passionate about and something that I'm very committed to. So I think, you know, as a leader, there's so much responsibility that we have that, you know, we really owe it to ourselves to really invest in that and, you know, develop that, even if it's, you know, additional out of pocket expense. So I think look around, there's been a number of ones that have been, you know, really valuable for me. And, you know, I think CCL, the Center for Creative Leadership, was probably one of the most impactful. I took a course with them, north of San Diego, and it was a really impactful, well done, experience. And, you know, there was a lot of prep that went into it, great week of training, and, you know, I think great positive outcomes, but there's many other ones out there as well. But it's something that leaders, I think, have to be spending, you know, a real amount of time developing at all times. You're never done learning in this field, for sure.
Excellent. That sounds great. So, you know, you have spent most of your career, all of your career, in engineering leadership roles. But as you've, you know, in leadership position and executive position, you've also interacted with like other leaders from other organizations. Would love to hear your thoughts on how do you think, in what ways engineering leadership or engineering management is similar to like being a general manager or manager in other organizations, or in what ways it could be different?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. I think, you know, with engineers, they're very smart. And, you know, I think there's a unique persona, and it's, you know, I don't want to categorize people and say they're all the same. They're not, but there's just something about engineering leadership that I think, you know, can be especially challenging. As a field, you know, very data oriented, you know, very eager to learn, very eager to understand. And so I think as a leader, it's always been, and I really took too long to learn this, but, you know, just really going through and being detailed about the why you're being asked to do something, you know. And I think I found with engineers, like really going in depth on the why, how it impacts, you know, what we're trying to achieve as a company, you know, really, you know, satiates that curiosity and that hunger and that desire to learn and understand why they're being, you know, asked to do something, or why the problem that we're bringing to the team is a meaningful solve. And, you know, I think it's been a lot of fun. It's been challenging, but that challenge makes us better every day, you know? And so I think that's been my favorite part of that. But yeah, I think that's where engineers are somewhat unique.
Sounds great. As you're managing a remote team, any tools that you use to either professionally manage the team that has helped you, any tools that stand out to you or your favorite ones? And then also maybe second part of it is like also to build maybe like a team bonding. Is there any tools that you've used that you might advise people using?
Yeah, I think as far as like pure tooling, you know, any sort of online, you know, cloud-based, you know, suite of, you know, document, spreadsheet, whatever, either of the big ones work. I think that's critical, you know, for your document sharing and be able to share and communicate information. I think a wiki, you know, where you can kind of store your SOPs, you know, build out, you know, really good documentation for your new people, for your established people, where you don't lose track of things. I think that's really important. And then I just can't imagine really doing this without Slack and some sort of video conferencing. You know, they say in person, in the training I had, you know, back in the mid 2000s, it was all about that personal relationship. I don't know that anything truly, you know, replaces that, but video conferencing, I feel, you know, gets you close and I think gets you good enough. And so I think, you know, Slack you know, video conferencing software are absolutely, you know, critical to that. As far as like, you know, how to build, you know, team morale, things like that. You know, I'm constantly reminded in leadership, it's really important to involve the team. You know, our people and culture leader recently rolled out a plan where we get a quarterly budget to go do these events. And one of my people who's definitely a culture carrier, you know, came up with this idea, and it's fantastic, is for a pretty cheap price, send a homebrew beer kit to every engineer. We're going to brew our own beer. We're going to send the beer back, and then she's going to categorize them all, you know, number them one through however many is on the team, and then send them back out to everybody. And we're going to do a virtual tasting together. And, you know, just, you know, silly stuff like that, that doesn't take a lot of money. But, you know, just doing those kind of shared experiences together, they're out there. Involve your team, you know, find a passion that they enjoy. And, you know, the team is going to find a way to be creative and have fun. So.
Excellent. I wanted to see things more from the other angle, right? Perhaps employees that you have, people who have reported to you in the past, as well as your personal angle. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about something about like perhaps remote working, what kind of flexibility and choices that it might have offered to you, and then it might be offering to people who work on your team, people who reported to you.
Yeah, so I mean, so for me personally, I was based in Denver for 20, 21 years. And, you know, recently my father's health started failing a little bit. Unfortunately, we lost him this year. You know, I inherited a farm with my brother, and now I'm living in Northwest Oklahoma and, you know, helping carry on a legacy that my family is built, and, you know, trying to keep that together and, you know, be a good steward of that, as well as being a leader in software. And so I think this remote environment has just been, you know, it couldn't come at a better time for this, because there's no way, I think, pre-COVID that this would have been an option. As far as my team, you know, I think they love the time that they have with their family, the ability to, you know, still get their work done, but get it done on kind of more on their terms, being able to do things around the house, being able to go out and work on a patio, you know, and get a little bit of sunlight. Yeah. I think people are a little bit healthier in that they're getting out, walking, exercising more during the day, where maybe that, you know, wasn't really something that was, you know, I would say encouraged in a pure office environment. And so, you know, and you know, the issues we talked about earlier around, you know, commute time, that's now, you know, there's to do new things with, and obviously impact on the environment. I think it's been almost 100% universally positive from my team for those reasons and a few others.
Yeah, so sorry to hear about your father, but I'm glad that you're close to your family. And looking at your sunlit room, it looks great. So I'm sure it's, you know, Denver is great too, but I'm sure like where you are, it's like it's a great environment there. Would love to hear about how do you think about hiring? Because remote hiring can sometimes be challenging if you're in the same city. Mm-hmm. How should managers who are hiring like remote engineers, how should they think about what should their strategy or approach be?
Yeah, I don't know that it's changed my approach to hiring as much. You know, I think what it has forced us to do is be more organized around the hiring process. You know, again, we have what's called an interview guide where, you know, based on the role, we have a list of candidates. We have categories that each individual, if we have an individual interview or if we do a fair amount of paired interviewing, where we write the questions down beforehand, put them in the interview guide. And, you know, it's really forced us to be a little bit more organized in that sense. But I actually enjoy it. You know, I feel like it makes it a little bit more objective. You know, that personal presence maybe isn't as strong a part or part of the impression that's being made during the interview process. And so I feel like for us, it's been good to have access to that wider pool of candidates. And, you know, they're out there, and it's not just all centralized in a few cities, you know, and it's, I think we're at the very beginning of a pretty big transformation of what's going to happen in the U.S. And so, you know, I think, you know, cast that wide net, you know, keep an open mind about where, you know, where a talent person may be based at the time, and, you know, write those procedures down, and, you know, there's some pretty cool creative, venues for you to post those messages. One that we've had recent success with is an iOS blog for a iOS position that we have available. It's, you know, it's just a lot of fun. So I'm really enjoyed the wider pool and the wider access to candidates. You know, we just need to be organized and making sure that everybody knows exactly what their part in that interview process is.
Yeah, that's actually a really, really good point, because while remote can be challenging, it also opens up all these opportunities for you. Like once you embrace that culture of like talent pool anywhere in the world, that sounds great. One question that I have maybe on the lighter side is like, you know, one fun thing about the team coming together from time to time, or perhaps on every single day, is like when you are doing well and when you're celebrating wins, you can do it all together. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you, in a remote environment, how do you celebrate your wins?
Yeah, we do recognition in our weekly all hands. So as a company, we come together every Friday. So we have a recognition section there. I'm pretty bullish on, you know, big milestones. We track milestones in our weekly team meeting as well. Want to make sure that we're always clearly communicating what our targets are, how we're progressing towards those. So when we hit one, you know, recognize in the team meeting as well. We talked about the gold star. And then we are using some of our legacy real estate budget, since we don't really have an office, or at least an office near the size we did have. We try and do quarterly get-togethers as well. And so, you know, the team selected, you know, we do a team selection and nomination of things that they'd like to do. So we do, we were going to do like fly fishing, you know, go to go-kart racing. We, you know, just go find something fun that the team nominates to do. So, you know, I still think it's important to try and get people together on a, you know, semi-regular basis. And so we've selected quarterly. And so, you know, just taking the time to do stuff as an engineering team and then also doing things as a company. Yeah, that's what we do. And then, you know, last thing I'll add is I have a kudos section where just at the end of our team meeting, just take 5 minutes and just I'll start it off with someone that I think is, you know, I want to give kudos to. And then just, does anybody else have kudos they'd like to give out? And it's pretty cool to see people, you know, chime in and, you know, express that appreciation and gratitude. And it's, it just really, I think, helps build that, you know, stronger team connection whenever we take time to do that. So that's the approaches we take.
That's good. Do you do like, you also do virtual happy hours or something like that? And like meet with the team and with some like,
it's interesting. We've had mixed success with that. I think some people, especially folks that are in leadership or on the organizational side of things, they're a little bit screened out, you know? And so I think asking people to get back on a screen to, you know, do a happy hour, we've had limited success with that. We'll do, I think every 2 to 4 weeks, we'll do like a team gaming session for like an hour where we'll go do trivia. We'll go do, you know, some popular game at the time and kind of go play those. We'll do that, but you know, it's been interesting. The additional screen time, I feel like it just doesn't quite get the return just from people feeling a little bit burned out on screens and how much interaction they're having on those. Other companies may have more success, and I'm sure somebody's out there has something to share on that. But we haven't found something, you know, that's screen-based that I would say is really successful and has a high level of engagement.
Sounds good. On the other side, like when, if there is any conflicts or, you know, misalignments on the team, you know, one theory hypothesis could be like, it could actually be harder to manage that in a remote setting. Any thoughts on that? How do you manage conflict in remote settings specifically?
It's a little challenging. You know, I started with this team fully remote, so I don't have, you know, a pure kind of A/B test, but you know, what I'm seeing with my current team is we're actually having less conflict, you know, and I think, you know, I think in that office environment, there's just a lot of communication that's happening. And, you know, I think people can sometimes use that with, you know, the water cooler talk, things like that. And, you know, to maybe talk about things that make them uncertain or whatever. And we're not seeing that where we're at. You know, I think people are focused, they're coding and they're on their screens and or on their keyboards and getting work done. And so, you know, I haven't really seen too many negatives on that. I just really feel like, you know, people are enjoying this new environment and, you know, I haven't seen a lot of that, I've just seen a lot less of the negative communication and a lot more of the positive and people just being focused and, you know, excited for the additional time with their families.
Sounds great. Any thoughts on, you know, if you are now or in the past have managed developers in different time zones, like any complexity, mm-hmm. like time zone adds to it or yeah. any specific thoughts of mitigating that?
Yeah, we had core office time. So I think the biggest challenge was at Pitney Bowes, we had teams in Boulder in the Mountain Time Zone, upstate New York and Eastern. And then we had teams in a suburb of New Delhi called Noida. They worked 11 to 8 local time, but it was still, I think it was starting to get late for them around 10 or 11 o'clock. It was getting kind of close, local time, Boulder time. So we just kind of carved out, you know, 2-hour blocks of where we would have, if meetings needed certain people across geographies, that was that time, you know, that we, you would block for that. And if we had a meeting in for just say the Boulder team, you knew to schedule that time in the afternoon and to really protect those kind of core hours on those overlapping time zones. You know, I think that was probably the thing that worked the best for us in that situation.
That sounds excellent. Any thoughts or suggestions for like some of the supporting functions within a company or organizations like HR, especially because they'll be involved in pretty much like managing, but also hiring and all that kind of stuff. People ops, human resources too. How should they evolve in this remote first setting?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question. My PNC people and culture partner has been absolutely great to work with on this, and I would say embrace it. You know, I think if you really talk to people and talk to leaders, for the most part, you're seeing improved productivity, improved employee engagement, and you know, just improved overall job satisfaction with the opportunity to work. You know, really where you have an internet connection and electricity, you know, you can be a part of this team and get things done. You know, for some of the issues that we've talked about, I think it takes a little more concerted effort about writing things down, getting key things organized so that, you know, you can search those on your own. You know, whereas you might drop in by for an office visit and ask a quick question, I think you need to make those things available and searchable online. You know, do and spend a little more time on the team building and the culture building, and it, you know, make sure that that's more focused. But really embrace this. You know, I think the, you know, not being tied to expensive real estate, you know, that I know with several companies I've worked with, that was a huge, you know, time sink, capital investment. You know, really embrace this new world that we're in, and I think giving your employees the freedom to, you know, to spend more time with their families, to lead a more kind of self-managed, self-directed life. You know, you're going to see positive things come out of that. So embrace it. And you know, I think everybody's going to be pleased with the results that we see.
That sounds fantastic. One thought that I have is like, you know, usually even in like settings where people were working in the offices, there was this like, almost like a movement sort of slowly starting where people realize the importance of like mentoring people or connecting perhaps peers with each other for mentorship or within the company, even across different boundaries. And I have a hypothesis that actually something like that could be even more meaningful, especially when people are working remotely. So they don't feel like the only connection that they have with their team perhaps is like their manager or like a small set of peers perhaps. Any thoughts on that? Like how an organization can create those kind of cross links for people through different activities? Or
this is one's a little bit more challenging, you know, and I think you're right. I think in an office environment that happens a little bit more organically. You know, I always really advocate for my teams that, you know, it's your career and it's your career to lead and manage. And so, you know, I'm trying to use that mindset to help, you know, bolster that. I think now with the communication channels that we have and all the other assets that we have, it's, you actually have more access to more leaders than any time probably in history that I'm aware of. And so, you know, I think the traditional pure in-office mentorship model is not, you know, not as sustainable as maybe as it once was. But I think you also have a lot of opportunity to go in and interact with a lot of different leaders from, you know, all different domains. You know, I think a lot of leaders are, you know, have a similar mindset to me. I think I've been the beneficiary of a lot of people that took time to help me out. And I think there's most leaders I know are in that same boat. And so I think, you know, look out there. You know, there's all kinds of leadership groups. You know, I think there's the advent of podcasts are a way to really sit with somebody that's very accomplished and learn from their mindsets, learn from their experiences. You know, I think this is where I think employees and managers have to be more creative in how they build those mentorship relationships. I think the dynamics are changing and the tools are changing, but I also think it's better than it's ever been as well. So, you know, I think look out, there's lots of virtual options. I know there's a lot of Slack groups now where you can go ask tough questions anonymously, you know, and you know, get that leadership and form those relationships. So,
yeah, I love what you mentioned about learning from other people's experiences. In a way, that's what we're doing with you, learning from your experiences, and has been super valuable. Perhaps one question I have is that in many organizations, people will come into a place where perhaps the organization support for remote or hybrid is already there. It's still challenging, like they need to learn, and how do they get up to speed and learn? We spoke about that a little bit. But what about somebody coming to an organization where that acceptance of remote and hybrid might still not be there, maybe in the top leadership? Any thoughts on how do you build that acceptance and perhaps at the people at the decision-making level, like yourself and your peers?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think I knew that my father's health was failing back around 2014, 2015, you know, and that time was limited. And I felt that, you know, I wanted to be closer to him. And I talked with my leader at the time. I talked with my HR group, and they made it very clear, you know, you can move closer to him, but your career growth is capped if you do, you know? And so I think, you know, have those conversations. I think you can have those conversations in a productive way and just be clear about your intention and what you're trying to accomplish. And I think be willing to negotiate a little bit. I've seen some people, you know, I think I grew up where, I mean, you were expected to come into the office no matter what, you know, and then finally when people were spending 3 to 5 hours driving home after a snowstorm in the afternoon, you know, people start seeing this is not worth our time, or, you know, it destroys productivity long term, you know, for the rest of the week after that. And it doesn't help people. You know, so start and achieve a goal that you can. So talk with that leader, talk with, you know, your boss, you know, can I work from home one day a week? You know, let's do it for this review period and let's see if my productivity falls off. You know, and I think offer solutions, you know, around, hey, you know, I think if we're going to do this, we need to get our video conferencing on board. One thing one of our co-founders came up with, which I thought was great. You know, we were exploring maybe coming back to an office, and he had said, well, if we do, we're not going to have meeting rooms. Everybody's going to be on their laptops, you know? And so, you know, there's creative solutions like that. And I'm not saying, you know, that's for everybody, but, you know, I really think about how, you know, that's going to work. You know, what's an incremental step you can make? You know, and we didn't get to this, you know, show up in the office no matter what, early 2000s mentality to where we are today overnight. It's going to take steps. Talk with your leadership, you know, tell them what you're trying to accomplish and find that, you know, thing that you can accomplish. And then if you get that opportunity, make the most of it and show the senior leaders that it is going to be a net positive.
Excellent. Perhaps one last question that I would have is any pleasant surprises as you yourself embarked on this journey to work remotely, or your team or the teams that you have built in the past, anything pleasant or maybe either a surprise or a story that comes to your mind that you would like to share? I would love to hear.
You know, I've talked a little bit about my personal journey. I think that's just been, you know, so amazing that Rachi has been supportive of that for my personal journey. But, you know, with everybody else, you know, I think the most really surprising thing for me so far has just been the, you know, the survey data that we got back from our employees and just, you know, how clear the data was. I've never seen a more stark piece of data in all my years of surveying employees of what they wanted and, you know, what this had with as far as impact to their engagement. And, you know, I think just seeing this world happen, and for me, it's, there's a silver lining, I think, personal opinion, and everything that happens, good or bad. And, you know, as bad as this has been, as rough as this has been for a lot of people, I think the silver lining is businesses are waking up to realize that there's a new way to do things. And, you know, traditional boundaries that have been there that, you know, I think people have been very nervous to hold on to, you know, that, well, this is the way we've done it. And if we try this new thing, you know, what's going to happen? And I think a lot of companies are doing it, and they're finding out that it's actually, you know, created a lot of positives. And so I think it's not so much about my personal experience and what I witnessed in my team. I think it's what this means for the future of workforces, what it means to everyday people's lives and what they can do and how this empowers them to, you know, I think live a, a more self-directed life, you know, in a location or region that they feel best in and can support their family or whatever their motivation is. You know, they can live that. I think the next big thing that's going to be is if, you know, Starlink works out and delivers what they say, I think it's going to completely revolutionize, you know, the next 20 years. And so I think that's the thing that has been most interesting in the what I've seen out of it is not just at the ratio level or my experience, it's what it means for, you know, the everyday person in technology in the future. I think it's absolutely exciting. So.
That is actually very, very, very well said. Michael, this is a great learning experience for me, digging deeper into your insights that you have accumulated over a long period of time and this journey that you have seen. Thank you so much. I really want to take this time to really, really deeply thank you for this. I personally found it very useful. I'm sure like people who would be watching this would find it very, very useful. And if you're in San Francisco, please let us know. If you're in the Bay Area, I would love to meet up. And if I end up being in Oklahoma, Buffalo, I would love to visit your farm and see how things are going there.
You're welcome anytime. And definitely if I'm in the Bay Area, I always like to get up there. As I tell everyone, I've never had a bad meal in San Francisco. So I need to get back out there and get some good food. So thank you so much for the opportunity. I truly, truly enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael. Take care.
All right.
Good one. Bye.